Hi, I'm Allison Kulo.
Hi, I'm Roger Goldman. Welcome to Mountain Money.
Last week, KPCW wrapped up a rather spectacular summer pledge drive. Joining us in the studio right now is our general manager, Renee Bodley Miller, to talk about the results and thank the community for its incredible support.
Thank you, Roger. And yes, thank you to our community for their amazing support. Guys, we broke a record, and man, we broke it big time. We were trying to go for a goal. Can I do full transparency here?
I think that's allowed, yes.
Yeah, it's Mountain Money, right? So let's talk money. We had gone into this pledge drive hoping to raise $215,000. That's the highest we had ever raised in a pledge drive before. And then we had to postpone the pledge drive for a week because of the Parley's Canyon fire. We had to reschedule everyone. And thank you, everyone who came on air with us. They were really nice. There's only one group who couldn't reschedule. And in the first day alone, you guys, we had raised $110,000.
Day one?
Day one. And the big hour that day was our first hour at 8 a.m. with the local news team. And so we had put out the call to all of the Broadcaster Club members whose renewals were due in August and asked them to please consider renewing in honor of the news team. And they stepped up. So that was fantastic. And then every day we raised more than $50,000. It was like $59,000, $62,000. And then on the last day, I believe it was like $119,000. So I'm sorry, I'm burying the lead. We raised $346,000. $346,000, you guys, compared to the $215,000 we thought we would do. This community loves public radio and loves local news. And Roger, you're the chairman of the Board of Trustees. You and I have talked about what we think is behind this.
Well, you know, I'm smiling because Thursday morning you asked me where I thought we'd end up in the day, and I was woefully undershot it. And I think, you know, it's interesting, the sort of centrality of the role that the radio station plays admittedly got highlighted during our coverage of the Parley's Canyon fire. So many people have come up to me over the last week and talked about how during that community crisis, this was where they turned.
And what was nice was we saw everything across the spectrum in response to that. I spoke to someone who lives here part-time, who is from Texas, who called in, and they're a new Broadcasters Club member. And they said, you know, we've been coming to the community in our second home for several years now. We've always listened to you guys, and we figured now is the time to step up. Obviously, you'd love to hear from a person like that. But you guys, one of the most meaningful donations we received, one of our phone volunteers, Mayor Piper, stopped me, I think it was day three, and she was a little teary, and she got me a little teary. She said she just spoke to a volunteer who had called in and said they lived in Summit Park. They were evacuated. They got that knock on the door from the sheriff. They were scrambling. They got in their car, and they did not know where to get information. And they turned on KPCW. And she said, I only have $30 to give you, but will you take my $30? And we're like, heck yeah, we will take that $30. And that's what we are here to do. When people are in crisis, when there is a public emergency or public safety is at risk, by golly, we're going to be on the air.
And I think one of the things to note is how you have changed how KPCW follows the news. You know, you have expanded the number of people that are working on the news team, and the whole department is really functioning in a different way than it ever has.
Thanks for noticing that, Allison. You're right. We started in 2018 putting everything on our website. Before that, it was sometimes an audio clip of a story. Sometimes a reporter would have time to put the full transcript of their story on the website. Writing for web is different from producing for radio. And we're still finessing that distinction. So, yeah, we're putting a lot more money towards that news department. We have an opening for a reporter right now. Now, given that the community has told us we need this service from you. Now we have to look at it, spending those resources. I'm looking at the chairman of my board. He's nodding. Because as a board, we have not met yet. You know, we've all exchanged some emails over the weekend about where should we put this new money. It goes right back in the operation. It's going to go right back to serving our community.
And when we talk about expanding the news team, you know, right now, not only are we posting the stories online, but we also have weekend news coverage, which is something we didn't have before, where we have people, we have someone on the news staff here every day. And of course, during the fire, we had lots of people here because in an emergency like that, we brought a lot of staff in to cover the fire. But that expanded coverage. And I think some of the things were to talk a little bit about some of the other sort of expansion of news that we're thinking about, Renee.
We also have an opening. It's not posted yet, but we have an opening for what we're calling a digital specialist. And the reason we don't have it posted yet is because we're still trying. We want to put up a true job description, and everybody wants a piece of this digital specialist. They're going to be wearing a lot of hats. So we're trying to really hone in on what is this person's main job. But things like push alerts, you know, there's a power outage. There was one just a couple days ago that affected a lot of people. There's an evacuation order. We want to put these push alerts out there to anyone who subscribes to our newsletters and our website, but we don't want to do that until we know that we can be consistent and we can do it well. The last thing I want is car alarm syndrome, where we put too many push alerts out there and people disregard them. So it's a work in progress. So that putting things online, putting things on push alerts, and another good part of a digital specialist is, yes, the community really responded this time, but if we're going to add positions, I need to make sure they're sustainable. We don't want to bring somebody on staff and have enough money to pay them for a year and then tell them, sorry, we didn't have so good of a pledge drive, so now we can't pay you anymore. One thing about digital is we're not in the digital revenue sphere yet, but we know that there are some public radio stations that are having some success revenue-wise with some digital advertising. So we're not just a radio station anymore, you guys. And that's exciting. And Roger, we've talked about how news is changing, how local news services are changing.
And I think that, you know, as we move forward, the concept that we are a local news source as much as a radio station, so many people told me that the access to our website, that we were staying up really well during the fire. And I remember sitting here on Saturday afternoon watching you posting social media as we were getting information so that we could stay as current as we could. That sort of blend of service as a news source is what we see for our future.
Definitely. And, you know, we love our friends at the Follies, and they have written a satire about KPCW this go-around that I was assured was a love letter to the Follies. And what they're trying to show everybody is what KPCW would, what our town would be without KPCW. If you had to pay for Lost and Found, if you had to pay for the ski report, if you had to pay for local news, what would that subscription cost? And we provide all of that for free because we have people who donate to this radio station. And I have to give a shout out. This Broadcasters Club that we started about 7 years ago, 2014, 2015, they were responsible for $202,000 of this money that we raised. Individual donations, not in the Broadcasters Club, was about $112,000. And then everybody who sponsored an hour, those for-profit entities that came in to help nonprofits during their hour, they brought in $30,500. Rotary Wars, thank you to the Rotaries, that brought in $39,000, almost 40. We'll round up to 40 there. I had asked them to please try to raise $35,000, so they went above and beyond. The Early Childhood Alliance and Park City Tots brought in $28,000. Summit Land Conservancy, $22,000. Ballet West, about $20,000. And People's Health Clinic, $15,000, and the KPCW Board, $13,000.
And not to put you on the spot, but do we have any other fun stories like the one you just mentioned?
You know what? This is my fun story. We got a lot of donations from people who love the high school football broadcasts. And you guys know that we toyed with the idea of maybe we don't do that anymore, but I think it's been made clear to us that our listeners love hearing that. And especially, you know, if there's a game in St. George, like there was last Friday, and a lot of people don't want to drive down there, so we broadcast it live.
Who won that game, do you know?
I'm afraid, no. I've heard they've lost two in a row.
Hey, you know, it was a tough year for the minors. They got booted up to 5A, 4A. A different A. They're in a different league.
They're in a different A.
Yes.
That we
yes.
know.
So, anyone hearing this, if anyone has any ideas of how KPCW can better serve our community, we're all in. We want to hear from you. And Roger, we're putting together the community advisory board. We have one. It's been kind of the same six or seven people, and we decided it's time to really expand that.
And that's something we hope to be putting together, a vibrant community advisory board. We've gotten some information from people who are interested. We certainly would like to hear more, but we're hoping to put that together to have a meeting in October.
Yeah, and I'm talking to Jorge Rodriguez, who's the host of Cada Domingo, our Spanish language show, Sunday nights from 7 to 10. And we're talking about how we can better serve the Spanish-speaking community as well.
What's the commitment if you were to sit on that committee?
For community advisory board?
Yes.
Great question. Thank you. We're talking about three or four times a year, about an hour or two long.
Right, and this isn't going to be a sort of a generalized touchy-feely session. We are really going to look to our community advisory board to ask them to react to specific things that we do, because we need to get advice on how to better the radio station. And one of the things Renee and I have talked about is if we just do a general, what do you think, that tends to get a much less coherent and helpful response than, we did this, this, and this. What did you think about the way we did that? What did you think about the music we played? What did you think about the way we covered these stories? So we'll be looking for real feedback so that we, in a meaningful way, can understand what our community sees are the things that we do well and the things we could get better at.
What's key is that you have to be a listener of the station, obviously, right? You have to know what we do on air. You have to look at us online. We're looking for people who are going to come with some really solid ideas, not suggest that we do things that we're already doing, or suggest an understanding of the station and our mission. You know, if someone said, I don't think you should help local nonprofits anymore, well, that would be a non-starter. That's part of our mission. That's what we're here to do.
So. Well, and I wanted to talk about that, right? Because, you know, you talked and said how KPCW is able to do Lost and Founds, how we're able to really connect the community. And the work that is done here on air for the local nonprofits is huge and amazing. So talk to us a little bit about how the pledge drive benefited them.
Yeah, so every nonprofit that came in, and I think every single nonprofit hit their mark. We, for every dollar they raised over $1,000, we are going to match that in free underwriting. So the free messages you hear on air, produced messages. And I think every nonprofit hit their mark of hitting that goal, which maxed out at 100 spots. So you'll be hearing messaging, not only what our DJs read. So if a local nonprofit calls us, Ethel Preston, our office manager, she's in charge of putting these public service announcements together. So our volunteer DJs read them on the quarter hours. So that's a free service. But if they wanted to put a produced message on the air, then that costs money, less than what a for-profit would cost. That's another way we serve nonprofits. But they will get 100 spots for free to use in the next 6 months.
You know, you talked about the importance of the Broadcasters Club, and it really was. But another interesting thing is this approach to our pledge drive, this notion of partnering with not-for-profits. I've heard a lot of pledge drives around the country over the years. I don't think I've ever seen anybody else do it exactly like this.
Well, and you know, when you think about another NPR affiliate, for example, if KUER, our sister station down in Salt Lake, were to do this, they serve the entire state. So I think it would be challenging for them logistically to determine which nonprofits they would want to bring in. Some NPR affiliates do something fun, like because FCC rules stipulate you can't use your airwaves to raise money for anyone else. You can only use your airwaves to raise money for your public radio station. But you can do things like challenge grants. So some public radio stations say, if we hit $50,000 today, then donor X is going to give $50,000 to Meals on Wheels. So that's how they're kind of doing it. But to have a different nonprofit in every hour, because we're so unique in that we serve only Summit and Wasatch counties, then we can bring those people in. And by the way, if you're a part of a nonprofit and you're hearing this and you were not part of our pledge drive this last go around, or haven't been ever, give us a call. We've got another pledge drive coming up in March. Is that too soon?
Do we have to start thinking about it already?
Too soon, yeah.
I feel like we're starting to repaint the Golden Gate Bridge, right? Which is as soon as they finish one end, they start over anyway.
But I do think it's important because, well, for you living in the heart of it this last almost 2 weeks because of the delay or the postponement, it is important to talk to the nonprofits now because there is a lot of coordination and messaging that they do around the hour that they are here helping KPCW raise funds.
And what we're hoping is that we just, every time we do a pledge drive, it becomes more evolved. And Sarah Irvin, our new development officer here, she's been great at putting things together. But if you're a nonprofit and you want to come on air with us in March, be thinking about what you have coming up between March and August. If you have an event or a fundraiser that you could really use that free underwriting towards, save money in your marketing budget, come and spend some time with us for an hour. Talk to our listeners about what your nonprofit does. A lot of people are learning about nonprofits for the first time thanks to our pledge drive. It'd be fun to have you on. It's a great time.
So let's just wrap it up one more time by telling people what your original goal was and what you hit.
Our original goal was $215,000, and we raised $346,000.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone out there. We're going to work hard for you.
You've been listening to KPCW's Mountain Money. If you enjoy the show, make sure to leave a review no matter where you listen.